Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Pei, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, with the words Emerchatz. The Mishnah had given us a number of examples of Nedarim that are considered Inui Nefesh, affliction, which, as we had learned in the previous shiur in the Mishnah and the Gemara, a husband has a right to be mefer, to revoke nedarim of inui nefesh, and that revocation remains a permanent revocation. And the Mishnah gave an example of im erchatz. If the woman said, if I take a bath, and the Mara now wants to know, heichi kamer, exactly what did she say? Because as the Ran explains, if what the Mishnah meant to say was that the woman made a nether that she's not going to take a bath, then the Mishnah said erchatz, loy erchatz. By adding in the Mishnah the word im, if, it's a clear indication that she wasn't just making a nether that she's not taking a bath. Rather, it implies that there was some sort of a condition situation going on here. And the Gemara wants to know exactly what kind of a condition. What did she exactly say? Ilema, so the Gemara wants to suggest that she said was the Amra, Koinem Peres Oilem Alai, that she says, I may not eat any fruit, Im Erchatz, if I take a bath. And the Gemara at this point holds that not taking a bath is not considered Inui Nefesh, is not considered affliction. So ask the Gemara, Lamala Hafara. So why made a husband revoke the nether? Loy Tirchitz, let it just not take a bath. For as we're learning now, taking a bath doesn't involve Inu Nefesh. For Litzra, Peris Oilamalo, and she'll be allowed to eat all the fruits. Because again, at this point of the Gemara is saying not taking a bath is not considered Inu Nefesh. However, not eating the peiros of the world is considered inui nefesh. So there's a way of avoiding, in, under this nether, any issue of inui nefesh. The way of avoiding it is just by not taking a bath. So why, according to the Rabbanon, does the husband have the right, in this case, to be made for a nether? V'yoid, and another question. Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with the Rabbanon in our Mishnah, and said that in the nether that is being said in our Mishnah, the husband may not be made for the nether. Rabbi Yossi's words, as we read them on the top of our Amud, are, Omer Rabbi Yossi, ein elu nidri nefesh. But the way the Gemara is explaining the Mishnah, the nether is a nether of inu nefesh. Rabbi Yossi agrees that if a woman says that she may not eat peiros olam, that that's considered a nether of inu nefesh. The part that's not inu nefesh here is the tanai. So b'halam Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi's wording is inappropriate. Why does Rabbi Yossi say ein elu nidri nefesh, indicating that the nether is not a nether of inu nefesh? It's not the nether. The merachza. She may take a bath and she'll be also the Paris Olam, which is Nini Nefesh. Rather, what the Mishnah should have said, explained the Rishonim, is Ein Tanai Ze Inu Nefesh. That the Tanai, which refers to the bath, doesn't have anything to do with Inu Nefesh, because the Tanai is not a factor of Inu Nefesh. By saying Ein Elu Nini Nefesh means that the Ned is not Inu Nefesh. That's not true. Paris Olam is considered a ned of inu nefesh. As the Ran that we learned on Daf Yudalad, that if someone made a nether that I will not allow to sleep today, if I sleep tomorrow, so the Gemara on Daf Yudalad says that one should not sleep today, for we are concerned that the condition may be fulfilled, which will cause the nether to retroactively take effect. So ask the Ran, why don't we say the same thing in our case? Even if the condition of the nether, as we're explaining now, does not pertain to Tina Nefesh, still, the wife has to comply with the terms of her nether, because we should have a concern that she may ultimately trigger her nether by fulfilling the condition of bathing. So if a woman makes a nether that she's not going to eat food if I bathe, it should be automatically considered a nether of inu nefesh, because she's midrabbanan obligated to comply with a nether not to eat food even prior to her bathing, based on the Gemara of Daf Yudalad. So the Ran answers that where did Rabbanan say that one should already fulfill the conditions, one should already be concerned and fulfill the terms of the Nedarim? It's only in a case where the Neder will be triggered retroactively. Again, the case that we mentioned from Daf Yudalad was a case where the woman said that if I sleep tomorrow, I should be usher to sleep today. So since in that case the nether will be triggered retroactively, we have to be concerned that she may sleep tomorrow, and therefore Chazal said she shouldn't sleep today. But in a case, the case of our Gemara, says Duran, she doesn't say that the nether should take effect immediately. She says that only after she takes a bath, then and only then will she not be allowed to eat Peiros Ha'olam. It's not a situation of triggering a nether retroactively. And therefore, says the Ran, we don't have a concern of the Gemara and Daf Yudalot. The Beis Meir says a different teretz. The Beis Meir says that even if in our case the concern that we have on Daf Yudalot would be relevant here also, what do we want to do? We want to give, because of that, the husband the authority to be made for the nether. Says the Beis Meir that although Chazal said that we have to have this concern, it's a chashash drabbanan. There's a drabbanan concern that she may fulfill the tanai which would trigger the nether. But the Torah gave a husband authority to be made for a nether only when it's a nether of inu nefesh. The Torah did not give the husband the authority, the right, to be made for a nether only because it is a chashash drabbanan. So even though perhaps the Ran's concern is correct, that there is here a chashash drabbanan, but a chashash drabbanan doesn't allow us to employ the technique of hafara in a case that the Torah doesn't give the husband that right. Another teretz, the Shamli Nedarim, quotes the Taz, who says that the only time we have this we have the concern of Daf Yudalid, that if she sleeps, that where he made a nether, if I sleep tomorrow, I should be asked to sleep today, is only where the nether is not a nether that will remain forever. In such in that case, where if the woman violates the condition, she will retroactively transgress the nether. But in a case whereby by activating the nether, she will be prohibited forever, our case, by taking a bath, she will be prohibited forever from eating peiros. That's a case where the Taz says every woman would be certainly very careful not to violate the condition, not to activate the nether, and therefore Chazal would see no reason to make a gzeira under such circumstances. Our Gemara clearly indicates that Nedarim are subject to Tnoim. The Nedarim are subject to conditions. Ask the Achroinim, and this is a subject that we've already previously discussed. The entire concept of Tnoim, that conditions are halachically valid, we learn from Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, the story where the Shvatim of Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe approached Moshe Rabbeinu where they wanted to get their share in the Eiver HaYarden, not in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Im Tavu Chalutzim Lefnei Acheichem, if you will go in battle together with your brothers to capture Eretz Yisrael, then you will get your share in Eiver HaYarden. Vim Loi Tavu Chalutzim. However, if you will not go out in battle, you will not get your share. And from there, throughout Shas, we learn Hilchos Tanoim. We learn how that Tanoim are effective only if they follow the pattern that we learn from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. And one of the qualifications that we find by the story of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, it was something that was doable Ayidei Shliach. It was assignable to a Shliach. Actually, it was assigned to a Shliach because it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu himself who ultimately led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. It was Yehoshua. Ask the Achrayim, the halach is that Nedarim cannot be made through a Shliach. If I want to make a Neder, I can't ask the Shliach to make a Neder on my behalf. If so, how can Nedarim be subject to Tanoim? The halach is something which is not subject to Shliches, is not subject to Tanoim. And in fact, because of this question, there are Paiskim, the Noida Behuda, and others that say that Nedarim can be affected through a Shliach. If I want to make a Neder, I can ask a Shliach to make the Neder on my behalf. However, most Paiskim say that Nedarim cannot be affected through a Shliach. And if so, if Nedarim can't be affected through a Shliach, how can Nedarim be subject to Tanoim? The Ramban says that when is the era halacha that Tanoim and Shliches travel together? That's only Tanoim that are between me and another individual. In a deal that I'm doing with someone else and I make conditions, the only time the conditions are halakhically valid is if it's a subject that's subject to Shliches. However, when the Tanoim are Tanoim beinoy lebein atzmai, I'm making a neder that affects me. And that nether that affects me, I want to make Tanoim in that nether. There, this rule doesn't apply. The Pnei Yeshua answers that only by a Maisa, only in a situation where we're referring to an act, is there a halacha. If this act cannot be done through a Shliach, Tanoim cannot be attached to the act. The classical example is Yibum Chalitza. Yibum Chalitza cannot be done through a Shliach, and therefore Tanoim cannot be made in Yibum Chalitza. But Nedarim are not considered an act. Nedarim are considered Dibur, just speech. And there this halacha, that Tanoim and Shliches that don't necessarily travel together. Rechaim Brisker and the Chazon Ish and the Keren Oira all seem to learn a different pshat. They say, when we understand Tanoim, typically, Tanoim mean conditions. And the halach is that conditions cannot be attached to a subject that is not also able to be assigned to a shliach. Tanoim in the Dorim are not to be understood as a condition. They'll be to understood as a definition. The Tanai defines the nether. And since the Tanai defines the nether, that's not considered a typical Tanai, which has the regular Hilchus Tanoim. Rav Shach answers that actually Nedarim should be assignable to a Shliach. The reason why Nedarim can't be given over to, can't be done by a Shliach, because as we have been learning, if one Chas V'Sholem violates his Neder, he's over the lav of Lo Yachal Dvoroi. And the Torah is teaching us that I'm not allowed to violate Lo Yachal, I'm not allowed to desecrate Dvoroi, my words. And if I didn't say the words, they were only articulated by a Shliach, I'm not over Lo Yachal Dvoroi. So it's not, says Rav Shach, that a Neder can't be given over to a Shliach. Technically, a Neder could be given over to a Shliach. just in order to be over the lava lo yachad dvaray, I had to say the nether myself, which is not doable, which is not going to be the case if I said it through a shliach. That's why shlichus isn't effective, and that's why it's not the regular situation that it's a subject that's not assignable to a shliach. Nedarim really are a subject that's assignable to shliach, and that's why nedarim could also be subject to tanoim. So our Gemara returns and trying to understand what is the case of the Mishnah where the person said Imerchatz. Ella, says the Gemara, the Umra, the woman said, Koinim Hanos Rechitza Alay La'olam. The woman said, I will never be allowed to take a bath Imerchatz if I take one bath. Mishim Hachi, says the Gemara, according to the Rabbanon, Meifala. The husband has a right to be made for this nether. Because the Hechi Tavid, what should I do? What should this woman do? Tirchatz, if she takes a bath, Mitzra Nos Rechitzola, she will become permanently usur to take a bath. Loi Tirchatz, if she shouldn't take a bath, Isla Nevula. Because the Gemara is now holding that according to the Rabbanon, not taking a bath is considered Inui. And since it's considered Inui, that's why the woman is allowed to be Mefer. So the obvious question, which the Ram points out, is if now the Gemara is holding that not taking a bath is considered an Inui, and therefore the husband has a right to be Mefer for the nether, so ask the Ram, why did the Gemara speak about a very simple case? The woman makes a nether, she's not allowed to take a bath. And the Mishnah is teaching us that that's a case of inui nefesh, that the husband has a right to be made for. Why do we have to say it with a condition? Says the Ran, that the Mishnah is trying to teach us a chiddush, according to the Chachamim, that not only in the case where a woman makes a neder that she's not going to take a bath, that that's certainly a situation of inui nefesh, that the husband has a right to be made for the neder, but even in a case where she set a condition that if I take one bath, I should never be allowed to take another bath. So until she took the first bath, the nether really wasn't triggered. The nether really wasn't activated. So we would think that the husband does at this point, before the nether was activated, not have the right to revoke the nether. Teaches us the Mishnah that according to the Chachamim, even when it's just prior to the condition which activates the nether of inu nefesh, does the husband have a right to be made for the nether? Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds efshad lo rachza. It's possible for not to bath leniva lo chshinin. Rabbi Yossi holds that not taking a bath is not considered inu nefesh, and therefore Rabbi Yossi holds that we may not be made for. The husband may not be made for this nether. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's what Rabbi Yossi means to say, listen, Ihachi, Rabbi Yossi should have said, Tanaize ain by inu nefesh. That this Tanai doesn't involve inu nefesh. So, the Ran, in the name of the Rabbeinu Yoina, explains that what the Gemara means to ask according to Rabbi Yossi is that the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah, should have preferably spoken about the Tanai, because that would have informed us that Rabbi Yossi does not consider taking a bath to be inu nefesh, and he would be telling us that not only in the case where a person made a neder not to take a bath does not affect inu nefesh, but even in the case of the Tanai, would this not be a situation where the husband has allowed to be made for the nether? So it would be sharper way of explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Tosfos Rid explains the Gemara's question a lot simpler. He explains that the Gemara's question is that it's difficult to understand that Rabbi Yossi should hold that not taking a bath is inui nefesh. And therefore, Tosfos Rid says, if pshat in Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is that not taking one bath. We're taking not that the nether here is that the Isha says that if she takes a bath, then she should be also in bathing. So I could understand that Rabbi Yossi will hold, says the Tosfos Rid, that until the nether is actually triggered by her taking a bath, the husband can't be made for the nether. But says the Tosfos Rid, what the Gemara is saying, asking on Rabbi Yossi is, we can't understand, says the Gemara, that once the nether is triggered, which will prohibit her from ever taking a bath, that Rabbi Yossi should suggest that that's not inui nefesh. Why is that not inui nefesh? Says the Gemara, Ella the Amra, the case of the Mishnah is, Hanas Ruchitza Alayla Oilam, she says, I may never take a bath, Em Erchatz Hayoyim, even if I just take a bath one day today. And the Rabbanan hold that even refraining from taking a bath one day is already considered Inui Nefesh, and therefore the husband may be made for the nether. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds, Nivel the Chad Yoimer Loishmei Nivel. Refraining from taking a bath just for one day is not considered Inui Nefesh. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds that this is not considered a nether of Inui Nefesh, that the husband has a right to be made from. So the obvious question comes up. If that's the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon, then why? We come back to our original question. Why did the Gemara say, Tanaiza, why did the Mishnah say, Nedaza ain't by in a nefesh? The nether is not the issue. It's the Tanai that's the issue. The Rabbi Yossi holds that since the condition only limits her, only prohibits her from taking a bath for one day, that Tanai is not enough of a Tanai that triggers another Vinu Nefesh, because Rabbi Yossi holds one can hold back. One can refrain from taking a bath in one day. So the Gemara's question that Rabbi Yossi is wording in the Mishnah somewhat improper, difficult to understand, is still here, according to this Teretz. The Mishnah should have said, Rabbi Yossi, I'm a tenaizeh, ein bo inui nefesh, not use the words, nederzeh, ein bo inui nefesh. And because of this question, the Ran again quotes the Rabbi Yoina that says, the Rabbi Yossi really holds that refraining from taking a bath even forever is not considered inui nefesh. However, Rabbi Yossi will agree to the following, that if one makes a nether not to take a bath forever, although there is no concern of inui nefesh, it does fall under the category of beino lebeino. That we also learned in the previous year, the husband has the right to be made for the nether. And that's why, says the Rebbeinu Yoina, the Mishnah is couched in the words, Neder ze ein boi mishum eini nefesh, to indicate this nether doesn't refer to a situation of eini nefesh, but we could be medayik, we could imply that it does fall under the category of beino lebeino. However, the Tanai not only does it not fall under, according to Rabbi Yossi, in the category of inui nefesh, because Rabbi Yossi says bathing never falls into the category of inui nefesh, but it doesn't even fall under the category of beino lebeino. And why doesn't it fall under the category of beino lebeino? Because it's only refraining from taking a bath for one day. And refraining from taking a bath for one day not only doesn't fall under the category of inui nefesh, also doesn't fall under the category of beino lebeino. And that's why, says Rabbeinu Yoina, Rabbi Yossi cannot use in the word Mishnah the words tenaiza ein bo mishum inui nefesh. Because if the Mishnah would have used those words, we would incorrectly imply that tenaiza ein bo mishum inui nefesh avol yesh bo mishum beino lebeino. But that's not true. It doesn't have in it beinoi lebeino or either, because it's only one day. That's why the Mishnah had to use the words neder ze ein bo mishum inui nefesh to teach us the diuk that inui nefesh it doesn't have, but because it's forever, it does include a situation of beinoi lebeino. Ask the Gemara. Shenisam Ermerchetz. You have effectively explained, ask the Gemara, how to understand the wording of the Mishnah when the Mishnah used the words Ermerchetz. What exactly was the Tanai of the Mishnah? However, Imloy Erchatz Heichidami, the next words of the Mishnah were that the woman said Imloy Erchatz, and again, regarding that situation too, do we have a Machloikis, Reb Yossi and Rabbonon, if one could be made for such a nether? What is the case? Ilema, perhaps you'll say, the Amra, that, and again, as the Rishonim explain, two ways of explaining the Gemara. The Rosh explains the Gemara, that if the nether in the Mishnah was loy erchatz, that she makes a nether, I won't take a bath, that's not a nether. Because as we've learned already from the beginning of the Masechta, a nether has to affect a tangible item. Im loy erchatz is not considered a tangible item that the nether could affect. That's how the Rosh explains the Gemara. The Ran explains the Gemara's question is going back to the beginning of the Shir. Since at the beginning of the Shir we explained that Im Erchatz represents a case where it was a condition, because as we said at the beginning of the Shir, since the words Im, the word Im, was included in the Mishnah, similarly, in the case where the Mishnah uses the words of Im Loy Erchatz, there must be a case of a condition being attached here. And the Gemara wants to know, what is the case? Ilema, and that the Gemara says, perhaps the case was, Domer titza hanos ruchitzel oilem alai, a woman says, I should be never allowed to take a bath, im lo yechetz hayoyim, if I don't take a bath today. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, lom le afaro, why should the husband, according to the Rabbanan, be allowed to be made for this nether? Tischi, let her take a bath, the nether will not be triggered. Why do we allow the husband to be made for the nether? Amr of Yehuda, says of Yehuda, the case of the Mishnah was, Domer hanos ruchitzel alai, where the woman said, I should never be allowed to take a bath, if I won't take a bath in the foul water which flax is soaked in. And therefore the Rabbanon consider it a nether of inui nefesh that the husband is allowed to be made from. It's somewhat difficult to understand what is the case where a woman is making a nether that I'm not going to take a bath in the water in which flax is soaking. So I saw that the Miri explains there was a story going on here. We know that flax was soaked in water, and the woman, this was the day that the woman was coming to soak her flax, and she was trying to show how she conserves her husband and her resources, that instead of drawing fresh water to take a bath in, she's going to show her husband that she wants to conserve water, and she's going to take a bath in the flax water. Says the Gemara, if that's the case of Imloy Erchatz, the Mishnah continued in speaking about cases of Nidre Inu Nefesh, where we have a Machloikis Rabbot and Rabbi Yossi. The next cases were Imiskashit, Imloy Iskashit. The Kavasodik Tani, so when the Mishnah spoke about the case of Imloy Iskashit, what would be the case Imloy Iskashit, that I won't adore myself, the Neft. Neft is a very foul-smelling substance. Says the Gemara, you can't use the word askashet in conjunction with neft. Using something that's foul-smelling is not adornment. So how can we say that the nether was said that way? That's lichlechu. So if we're going to explain im erchatz and im loy erchatz in the way the Gemara has proposed, we don't have a way of understanding the imiskashet. We can understand, but we can't understand the case of imloy iskashet, says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda comes up with a whole new interpretation of the Mishnah. The case of imerchatz is Amar hanos ruchitzo loylam alai, where the woman says, I will never take a bath, imerchatz hayoyim, if I take a bath today. The case of loy erchatz is a case where the woman said, shvur shloy erchatz, much simpler situation. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where she made a nether that she's not going to take a bath. A shvuah, that she's not going to take a bath. And the Mishnah teaches us that there's a machloikus, Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi, is this considered inui nefesh? Rabbanan can say that it is considered inui nefesh, and the nether can be revoked. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Says the Ran, now that we've explained the Mishnah this way, we're no longer obligated to say that the case of Im Erchatz is going back to the case, as the Gemara suggested at the bottom of Amud Aleph, Hanos Rechitza Alay L'Oilom Im Erchatz Hayoyim. Rather, the Mishnah can be understood as we understood at the beginning of the Gemara, that the woman made a nether that she's not going to take a bath forever if she takes one bath. And we don't have to limit ourselves to Im Erchatz Hayoyim. And the second case was a case where the woman made a shvua that she won't take a bath. And the Ran explains that each one of these two cases represents a chiddush. Where we have a case where the woman said that if I take a bath, I should never be allowed to take a bath, the chiddush is, as we explained in Amud Aleph, that according to the Chachamim, that even though the nether has not yet been triggered, it has not yet been activated, the Chachamim hold it's already a situation of inui nefesh that the Chachamim hold one could be made for the nether. On the other hand, the case of Shvua Shaloi Erchetz represents a chiddush according to Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yossi, that even where the woman explicitly said Shvua Shaloi Erchetz, and everybody should seem to consider that certainly a situation of a nether of inu nefesh, teaches us Rabbi Yossi that he holds that not taking a bath is not considered inu nefesh, and therefore the husband may not be made for that nether. Although, as we said already in the name of the Rishonim on Amud Aleph, is that even if Rabbi Yossi will hold that not taking a bath ever is not considered inu nefesh, he will agree that it does fall under the category of Beinoi LeBeino. And the same case, in the same way, will we explain the next case of the Mishnah. Hanos Kishur Alay LeOilom, I should never be allowed to adorn myself in Meskashet Hayoyim. That's the case of Imeskashet. And the case of Loyeskashet is where the woman said Shvuash Loyeskashet, she makes an explicit nether that she will never adorn herself. Ask the Gemara, Omle Ravina Ravashi, if we're explaining that the case of Imloy Erchatz, Imloy Eskashi, means that the woman made a nether, made a shvua, that she's not going to adorn herself, that she's not going to take a bath. So our Mishnah is even teaching us the din of shvuas. And actually, as the Rishonim point out, there's another chiddush in our Mishnah, that not only may a husband be made for the dorm of his wife, a husband may even be made for shvuas of his wife. Gevaldige chiddush. But there's one word missing from our Mishnah. The word Shavuos is missing from our Mishnah. Hai ilu nedarim v'shavuos miboy leila missing. The Mishnah should have said that we're referring to Shavuos also. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said, Tani, add into the Mishnah the words ilu nedarim v'shavuos. And as the Sham Nedarim explains, we know that in the times of Chazal, Torah Shebapeh, as the words imply, was learned Baalpeh. It was learned orally. And therefore, when Talmidim learned Mishnayis, it was quite frequent that they should forget a word that was in the Mishnah. And that's exactly what happened here. Originally, the Mishnah had in it the text, Harei Elu Nedarim V'Shvuos. But over the years, because the Talmidim weren't careful in remembering every single word of the Mishnah, the word Shvuos was omitted, but really it belongs in the Mishnah. V'bayi seima, another teretz. The reason the Mishnah doesn't use the word shvuos, shvuos nami hanan adorim. We find in our Masechta, we go back to Daf Tes, where the Mishnah uses the word nadarim, but included in the word nadarim are shvuos. That's not what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if someone says, k'nidri rishoyim nader b'nazir b'karben b'shvuah, the Mishnah says There's a difference if somebody uses the words Kenidri Rishoyim or if somebody uses the words Kenidri Ksheir. The Mishnah over there is discussing the concept of Yodas Nedarim, that even if one did not articulate the complete wording of a nether, sometimes there is a nether effective here. And one of the cases was that if somebody used the words Kenidri Rishoyim, since it is the custom, as the Gemara said there, for Rishoyim to make Nedarim, it falls under the category of Yodos Nedarim. Whereas if someone said Kenidre Ksheirim, since it's not the way of Ksheirim, of righteous people, to make Nedarim, it would not be considered a Neder. And the Mishnah says, if somebody said Kenidre Rishoyim, Nadar B'Nazir, there's a case where a Nazir is passing by, since he meant to become a Nazir and he used the word Kenidre Rishoyim, he becomes a Nazir. Similarly, he could affect obligation to bring a carbon. And similarly, he could affect the shvua that he should not be allowed to eat. So even though he's affecting a shvua, the Mishnah used the word kenidre. So we see that under the broad statement, under this broad word nadarim, those shvuas also fall. Says the Gemara, that as we've been learning, the fundamental machloikis between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi is on the Dorim, is not taking a bath, is it considered Inu Nefesh or not? The Rabbanon holding that it is considered Inu Nefesh, Rabbi Yossi holding that it's not considered Inu Nefesh. Asks the Gemara, is that true? V'am Rabbanon, v'chitza ispa Inu Nefesh kilay rachza? Do the Rabbanon hold that if one doesn't take a bath, it's considered a situation of Inu Nefesh? V'rimini, we learned in Masechta Yuma, Afish Asav Kula, that even though in Yom Kippur one may not eat and drink, or take a bath, or anoint himself, or wear shoes, or do Tashm Shamita, Ein Anish Karas, there is no Chiv Karas, El Ba'oichel V'Shoyis V'Ois Malacha. There is no Chiv Karas, only by eating and drinking or doing Malacha on Yom Kippur. There's Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand our Gemara. The Ran understands our Gemara to mean that all of the above mentioned items, Achila, Shtia, Rechitza, Sicha, Nilos, Asandal, Tashma, Shamita, Arosa, Medaraisa. But as far as a Chiv Karas is concerned, there's only a Chiv Karas by Achila, Vishtia, and Asiyas, Malacha. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara to say that only by Achil Vishtia is there an Issa Doraisa, but the other Inuyim of Rechitza Sicha, Nilos Asandal, Tashma Shamita, there's only an Issa Dorabonim. We're going to follow the opinion of the Ran. Ask the Gemara, Vi Amrit, Kiloi Rochza, if Rabbanan and our Mishnah are teaching us that not taking a bath involves Inuy, Yom Kippurim, Ki Rochitz L'chayiv Karis, why if a person takes a bath on Yom Kippur, isn't there a Chiyiv Karis? So actually, the Gemara Masechta Yuma has a way of explaining this. The Gemara Masechta Yuma says that only an Inui that involves Ibud Neshama, losing, hurting oneself, hurting one's life, like a Chil V'Shtiya, has a Chiyiv Karis. An Inui that doesn't involve Ibud Neshama doesn't have a Chiyiv Karis. But our Gemara takes a different approach. Our Gemara says like this, Amar Rava, Minyana Dekra, we have to follow what the Pesukim say. Gabi Yom Kippurim Deksiv, Tanus Nafshaseichem. By Yom Kippur, the Torah uses the words Tanus Nafshaseichem, which comes to teach us, Milsa the Yodi Inuya Hashna, in a situation where the Inui is now recognizable. And the Shita Mekubetzes gives two Pshotim and what it means, Inuya the Hashta. One is that the person himself who doesn't eat or drink right away feels missing that he didn't eat or drink today. On the other hand, the other Inuyim of Rechitza, Sicha, are not, the effects of those Inuyim are not immediately felt. Another Pshat is that if someone doesn't eat or drink, it's the Inuy which is recognized by all. If someone sees me not eating or drinking, they recognize that I'm in a status of Inui. But if I didn't take a bath, they don't know I didn't take a bath. Or if I'm not wearing shoes, They may think that I'm not wearing shoes because I want to wear these types of shoes. So it's not an inui, which is recognizable by all, and therefore it doesn't fall under the category of inui for which there's a chiyuv karis. Rechitza is lo yod inui dahashta. It's not an immediately recognizable inui. I don't feel the inui right away. People don't recognize that I didn't take a bath, and therefore it doesn't fall under the category of inui for chiyuv karis. However, by Gabi Nadorim, the ksiv that the Torah, when it speaks about the Nadorim, that a husband may be made for, the Torah uses the words kol nedav kol shvuas iser la'anois nefesh. The Torah is teaching us that even milsa da asir leila de inui, something that can lead to inui, even if it's not an inui that's immediately recognized, is considered inui. And v'chiloi rachza, not taking a bath, according to Rabbanon, is something that asile inui will come to a situation of inui, and therefore, even though it's not immediately recognizable, it falls under the category of inui, a nether which the husband may be made for. It's interesting to note that the Mefarshim, the Meches Chinuch, and others used our Gemara as the basis to answer a shaila. The question that many Paiskim pose is, how would one be allowed to feed children food on Yom Kippur, just like one may not give a child to eat non-kosher food? Us, even though the child is allowed to eat non-kosher food, one may not feed the child non-kosher food. Similarly, one on Yom Kippur, when all of us are not allowed to eat, how can one feed children food? So the Paiskim say that our Gemara is teaching us that inui is a mental state. Not eating Yom Kippur doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to eat because the food is not kosher. The food is usur. I'm not allowed to eat because I have to be in a state of inui. A child who halachically is not a bardas, is not able to understand inui, has no prohibition to eat. And therefore I'm allowed to feed children food on Yom Kippur. The Meshech Chochma says, it's interesting that the Torah says that if somebody, Rachman son is ma'anis, rapes a woman, he has to marry her. And the Torah uses the words lo yuchel shalcha. The Torah uses the words lo yuchel shalcha without the word, without a lamed. It doesn't say lo yuchel lishalcha. The Torah uses the words shalcha. Says the Meshech Chochma that to understand why the Torah specifically omitted that lamed, we could understand based on our Gemara and based on a Sifra. The Sifra says that even though someone who rapes a woman, that he has to marry her and remain married to that woman, says the Sifra, but let's say he gives her a get in order that she should not have to have Yibum Chalitza, that the get should be effective an hour before he passes away, even though this husband is not allowed to divorce his wife, if he gives her that type of a get, he may. Says the Meshech Chochma. Because he's not giving the get because he wants to divorce her. He's only giving her a get to avoid Yibam Mechalitza. Says that's what the Pasuk is saying. Al Gemara, he said, drew a distinction between where the Torah uses a lamed, which refers to the future, and where the Torah doesn't use a lamed, which only refers to the present situation. La Yuchel Shalchel. As long as he is alive and she is alive, la yuchel shalchay, they must remain married. But the Torah doesn't say la yuchel lishalchay, because if the purpose of the get is only for the future, for after he passes away, that she should not be subject to yibam chalitza, that he's allowed to give a get. That's why the Torah only uses the words la yuchel shalchay rather than using the words la yuchel lishalchay.